Chapter 14. Even with six tiny students in class, Ms. Starr acted like nothing was unusual, which Nori found extremely disappointing. Bax and Andres must have already filled her in. Ms. Starr said good morning to all the kids and lifted the tiny students onto her desk. Then she took roll and made morning announcements, just like she always did. After a minute, Marigold and Pepper sat cross-legged on Miss Starr's desk. Willa perched on a box of paper clips. Sebastian settled on a paperweight and Elliot on a stapler. When Nori decided to join him, their combined weight made the stapler eject a staple.
Kya thunk?
Ms. Starr gave them side-eye.
Nori and Elliot, please stop playing with my office supplies.
We weren't, said Nori. I just...
Kids, all of you, said Ms. Starr, setting aside her morning announcements. I do love seeing that Marigold is feeling so confident with her magic. Marigold, I'm very proud of you. But we all know Lacey Clench went to the hospital when she shrank. So let's talk. I'm concerned this protest is dangerous.
It's not, said Marigold. I can make everyone big again. Didn't Layla tell you what happened in our tutoring sessions?
No, actually. Ms. Lapzinski has not sent me a single report, said Ms. Starr. I've been meaning to speak to her about that.
Well, I can big things up now, said Marigold. I've been practicing.
You can? Ms. Starr looked genuinely thrilled, the way she always was when her students made progress.
Oh, Marigold, I'm so happy.
Then her serious teacher face came back. But I'm still not pleased about this protest. Andres and Bax explained it to me before you all arrived, and I really do have doubts.
Nori was frustrated. But Ms. Starr, our requests are reasonable, and not a single teacher or administrator has asked us kids what we think. Not once. Ms. Starr pursed her lips. She sat down and rested her chin on her forearm so that she was gazing straight at the tinies. I understand you want your toys back.
Please don't call them toys. We prefer you call them dregs, Marigold said.
She spoke with a confidence that surprised Nori. She marched across Ms. Starr's desk and pointed at Ms. Starr's coffee cup.
You get to bring stuff to class that doesn't have anything to do with lessons. Coffee drinks, your phone, even Carrot, your rabbit. Why can't we?
Ms. Starr sighed.
Carrot isn't disruptive. The dregs are very disruptive. Marigold went on.
The dregs ban includes lunch and recess, and the time before and after school. The principal is dictating how we play and what's in our bags. We don't think that's right.
Well, I do respect your right to protest in a peaceful way, said Ms. Starr. And I admit that you made a very original choice. She stood up and went to the art cupboard. Be tiny if you want, she continued, for today at least, but don't expect me to make special allowances for you.
That's fine, Nori told her. We can take care of ourselves.
Bax, said Ms. Starr, help me spread out the art paper, please. Andres, put on your brick pack so you can work down here on the floor. Our upside-down magic lesson today will be foot painting. Remember, this exercise helps you manage new sensory input and tap into your creativity at the same time. That helps you manage your magic. Foot painting was one of Nori's favorite activities. We all know art and magic are connected, said Ms. Starr, and magic is grounded in the feet. So really stay alive to the sensations from your heels to the tips of your toes.
Foot painting, Willa exclaimed. We get to leave our tiny footprints.
Ms. Starr and Bax unspooled a swath of paper across the floor. Then Ms. Starr anchored it with masking tape. She tossed the tape to Andres, who did the same. Since there didn't seem to be any protesting to do at the moment, Nori decided to focus on the lesson.
It would be amazing to foot paint as a tiny.
And at least Ms. Starr was letting them stay small. Bax lifted the tinies down and set them on the paper.
I don't know about this whole plan, you guys, he said. You could get yourselves squished.
You don't need to like it. Thanks for the lift, Nori said sweetly.
She skipped over to an open jar of blue paint. This was going to be fun.
Give me a boost?
She asked Elliot.
Sure,
he said, coming over and forming a stirrup with his hands. While Ms. Starr was rummaging in the supply cupboard for brushes and other paint colors, Nori climbed to the edge of the jar. She could just balance. The paint below glistened like a perfect lake on a perfect summer day. She pulled off her sneakers and socks, tossed them to the ground, and rolled up the legs of her jeans. Then she carefully dipped her toes into the paint.
Ooh, it felt good.
She submerged her entire foot and squealed at its velvety gloopiness.
Come on up, she called, extending a hand to Elliot.
I'm not sure this is smart, Andres said, looming.
It is, Nori reassured him.
You could fall in, he said.
You're just jealous.
Andres sighed and joined back at the other end of the huge expanse of paper. A few feet away, Marigold and Willa each held a brush. They were painting each other's feet with yellow and pink paint. Pepper stepped in and out of a small puddle of black. She made a careful, cute trail of tiny footprints across the stretch of paper. This was the usual type of thing the students did when they foot painted. But Sebastian was making green snow angels, paint angels, nearby, laughing as he swished his arms and legs in wide arcs.
This is awesome, he cried.
Ms. Starr looked over at him. Nori froze, hoping her teacher wouldn't notice her sitting on the edge of the paint can.
Sebastian, said Ms. Starr, please remember that magic is grounded in the feet. This exercise is about connecting your creativity to your feet specifically.
Ms. Starr dug her head back into the cupboard. Sebastian stood up guiltily. He dipped his feet in a small dish of green paint and began jumping up and down, making tiny marks on the paper. Farther away, Bax foot painted in gray and Andres in red. Nori grinned at Elliot, who sat on the rim of the blue can with her.
I'm jumping in, she whispered. Do you dare me?
Do not jump into the paint can, called Andres from where he sat, painting red onto his heels. Just dip your feet and get on the paper, Nori. Pink could be poisonous if it gets into your mouth, Elliot said.
Nori splashed head first into the paint, then popped to the surface. It felt wonderful and slimy, but it did taste awful. She treaded paint for a bit. Why wasn't Elliot jumping in? And, how was she going to get out? And what if the paint was really poisonous? A large hand reached down and lifted her up.
Bax, Nori said.
You stupid head, he said, setting her down.
He looked pale with beads of sweat popping out on his forehead.
I can't believe you did that. Isn't foot painting wacky enough for you without swimming? You're stressing me out. I am not good with stress. You know that.
Nori saw Bax shimmer, as if he was going in and out of focus.
Oh no, he's about to flux, she cried.
She started running, her blue footsteps tracking down the paper.
Clear the way! Bax is fluxing!
Boom!
Nori's brains shook and her bones rattled. Now, rock Bax loomed above her, gray and craggy. If he had crashed down even an inch closer, she'd have been a goner. Her heart hammered in her chest. At the sound of Nori shouting, Ms. Starr stopped rummaging and turned around. Now she stood over the tinies.
Enough! She exclaimed. Students, please give me your attention.
Willa made a tiny eep of fear.
Nori, did you swim in the paint jar?
There was no lying about it. Nori nodded.
Oh, dear, said Ms. Starr. Rinse your mouth out right now.
The teacher set a Dixie cup with just a little clean water in it next to Nori, plus another empty one.
Rinse. Spit into the empty cup. Rinse again. Spit.
Nori could lift the Dixie cup, but drinking from it was hard. It was enormous. The water spilled down her front, but she kept rinsing and spitting. Ms. Starr continued. Nori and Sebastian, you have foot-painted numerous times without covering your entire bodies in paint. It's disruptive and dangerous what you did today. It prevents your fellow students from learning, too. Here's Bax, fluxed in the middle of a lesson. Now I have to take him to the nurse. She shook her head angrily and fetched the wheelbarrow that they used to haul rock Bax around. At the nurse's office, he would be turned back into a boy. Andres helped Ms. Starr lift rock Bax in. Ms. Starr swept her arm at the room. Foot painting is over. Please clean this mess up. Yes, tiny students, clean. I am really disappointed in some of you. She gripped the wheelbarrow's handles and headed into the hall, pulling the door shut behind her. The kids looked at each other, then got to it. Andres found the plastic container of handy wipes and held a wipe out to Nori. She stretched it out on the floor and rolled in it like a burrito. She hated that Ms. Starr was mad at her, but the rolling lifted her spirits. Really, wouldn't anyone be happy while rolling around in a giant handy wipe? She took a second wipe and cleaned herself off some more. Good enough. She was mostly clean, although still blue in a number of places. Sebastian scrubbed up too. He was definitely still green, though, especially his hair. At least his clothes weren't dripping. The others got their feet clean and put on their shoes and socks. Some of them put lids on paint jars. Others stuffed the brushes into jugs of water. Andres moved the jars back into the art cupboard and set the jugs on Ms. Starr's desk. He lifted the tape off the painted paper, picked it up, and retaped it to the wall to dry. Their tiny footprints and Sebastian's tiny green angels looked amazing. Nori knew she was going to love seeing them again tomorrow, when everyone was big again. Ooh, where was her dreg? It was somewhere in the classroom, Nori knew. Glowy would be lonely. Maybe with Ms. Starr out of the room, Nori could pay her a visit. Maybe even rescue her. While the rest of the students finished cleaning up, Nori crawled under the teacher's desk. Ms. Starr had left the bottom drawer open just a sliver, but it was enough. Nori dug her hands into the crack from below and walked backward in order to pull the drawer all the way open. Then she scrambled up onto the rim. Glowy! She was right there, still in her egg. Oh, my dreg, I love you! Nori climbed into the drawer and hugged Glowy. Squeezed the egg. She had missed her luminous dragonette so much. The dreg began to rock and jiggle. It was as big as Nori was. It was a little scary the way it was jiggling. The dreg's fart was so loud that Nori stumbled backward into a pile of sticky notes. Glowy's shell cracked and opened. A massive dragon head nosed its way out. Then a massive foot with deadly-looking claws. Andres! Nori shrieked. She scrambled up. Save me! Glowy is attacking! Andres rushed around to the back of Ms. Starr's desk. He snatched tiny Nori up, zwip, out of the drawer. Then he shucked off his brick pack and floated up to the ceiling. Nori clutched onto his thumb and laughed with relief. We're flying, she cried. Why did you fly? It seemed like the right thing to do at the time, Andres said. It was, said Nori. Glowy got really scary. The door to the classroom opened. In strode Ms. Starr. Her eyes went first to the waddling, squawking dreg making noise in her desk drawer. Then she looked up at Andres, who was floating with his back against the ceiling, holding Nori in one hand. Excuse me! Students are not to go in my drawers! Or any teacher's drawers, ever, said Ms. Starr, her hands on her hips. Even if I have confiscated a toy. Even if you think you have a very good reason, do you understand? Never!
We understand, said most everyone.
Nori? Asked Ms. Starr, looking up.
I understand, said Nori.
Her face felt hot with shame. Father would be shocked to know one of his children had rummaged in a teacher's drawer. Andres, please bring Nori down, Ms. Starr requested. Andres pushed off the ceiling and caught onto a desk with one hand, still holding Nori in the other. He set Nori on the desk and went back to the ceiling. "We do not fly our friends, even if we can take passengers," Ms. Starr reminded Andres. "Not until we have had proper lessons. And we do not ride our friends," she said, looking at tiny Nori. "You know that. We do not ride fluxed students, and we do not ride flyers. It doesn't matter what size you are. All of that takes education before it can be done safely." She stood with her arms folded. "I'm upset that all this happened." Nori hung her head.
"I'm sorry, Ms. Starr,"